Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Pastor Stephen Baker from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
We will be concluding chapter 10 this morning and tonight getting into chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, which is an interesting subject. Chapter 10 basically gives what we call the Table of Nations. It shows how all the people after the flood were distributed all throughout the earth, and therefore it shows, if we were able to trace it that far, it shows who everybody's descended from, the different groups of people. And some people have tried to trace it, and the only ones you can be completely sure about is the Jews, because the Bible traces the genealogy of the Jews from this point all the way down to the birth of Jesus Christ, and it repeats that several times. But the title of the message is The Table of Nations, Part 2. This is Genesis chapter 10, verses 6 through 32. And some of this we preached last week, but we'll go over it really quickly, and then we'll get into the rest of the chapter. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house today. I do pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them today. We pray that you would do great things in your house today. Pray for the children's church going on and the workers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Table of Nations, Part 2. So first of all, we're going to look at the descendants of Ham. The descendants of Ham. And in verse 6, the Bible says, "And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Ramah and Sabteca. And the sons of Ramah, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth." Now, you remember the week before, we talked about Nimrod. And Nimrod was the man that founded the city of Babylon, and that a lot of people think convinced the people to build the Tower of Babel and to start a false religion. The Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. So this man had quite an extensive kingdom. And out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah. And you'll remember Nineveh from what story? Jonah, yes, Jonah. We remember Nineveh from Jonah, because it was Jonah that went and preached to Nineveh, and he didn't want to preach there because he knew the people would repent. And he didn't like the people of Nineveh because they were enemies of his country, and he wanted God to judge them. So he got on a boat and went in the opposite direction, and God had him swallowed by a giant fish and spit up on the land, and he went and preached in Nineveh. And then he got mad when the people repented. And verse 12, "And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city." So there was a metropolis built composed of the cities of Nineveh, Rehoboth, Rezin, and Calah. And these four cities might well have been referred to as a great city in verse 12. So it's probably these four. We're not sure of that, but probably the great city is these four cities. And that's much as we might say for somebody that lives in Atlanta. They might say, "I live in Atlanta," when in fact they live in Buckhead. It's a different city, but nonetheless, it's part of Metro Atlanta, and Metro Atlanta extends nearly up to Dalton now. It's just a huge place. So, going on in verse 13, "And Mizraim beget Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtahim, and Pathrasim, and Casalhim, out of whom came Philistim. and Captorim. Now, Philistrim, Adam Clark says the people called the Philistines, the constant plagues and frequent oppressors of the Israelites, whose history may be seen at large in the book of Samuel and Kings, etc. And so the Philistines were, you'll remember a famous giant came out of the Philistines, Goliath. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heath. And from Canaan, Gill says, from Canaan came the peoples who populated the promised land before the Jews came. The Jews fought and took the land from these people. That's actually not Gill, that's me, but I've got it right next to a quote from Gill, so it's all the same anyway. But nonetheless, Canaan's very important because it was Canaan who, his children, his people populated what is called the Promised Land. And if you're here on Wednesday nights, then you know we're studying through the book of Numbers. And as we study through the book of Numbers, we've found that as the Jews came to take the Promised Land, that they did a lot of fighting with Canaan's descendants. And you'll recognize some of these names as we go on. Now, Heath here, Gill says, is the father of the Hittites, who dwelt about Hebron on the south of the land of Canaan, for when Sarah died, the sons of Heath were in possession of it, Genesis 23:2. Of this race were the Anakim, or giants. And they were drove out hence by Caleb in Numbers 13:22. And these Hittites became terrible to men in later times, as appears from 2 Kings 7:6. The Hittites were a trouble to the Israelites. And the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite. And you'll see from our map, the arrow, the first red arrow up there is pointing towards the Promised Land, and that's where these descendants of Canaan went in and settled. And the second red arrow down at the bottom is showing you an up close, a zoom in of that, and it's showing you all the different people that settled there, but all of those were descendants of Canaan. And remember that that Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be." So there was a curse, a biblical curse put on Canaan. And again, I will tell you that people can't do that today. There are people that get on TV and say, you know, "I'm going to put a curse on you," and all these kind of things. And there's fortune tellers and other things. But people can't really put curses on people today. They think they can. My voice is cursed. They think they can, but they can't really. But nonetheless, when Noah pronounced this curse in the book of Genesis, it was a biblical curse, and judgment was put on Canaan and his descendants. And indeed, they did become servants of the Jews, just as Noah prophesied. So we get to verse 17, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hemathite, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar unto Gaza. You're all familiar with the Gaza Strip, probably from the news. And as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's some more names that sound familiar to us, for it was Sodom and Gomorrah where Lot moved to Sodom, and that God eventually destroyed for their sin. And Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. Verse 20, these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nation. So we've seen the descendants of Ham, and now we get to the most important of the descendants, which is the descendants of Shem, because it's from Shem that the Jews came, and that Abraham eventually came, and his son Isaac, and then came Jacob and Israel, and eventually Jesus Christ. So in verse 21, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. Now, Eber is where we get the word Hebrews. A lot of people believe the word Hebrews comes from Eber. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And it was Job in the Bible who lived in the land of Uz. And Job probably lived about the same time as Abraham. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. The word Peleg means division, and the earth was divided in his days. And a lot of people think that when the earth was divided, it was a scientific phenomenon called continental drift. That is, the continents drift apart over time. And a lot of people think that happened there. But indeed, the Bible tells us exactly what happened. So I'm going to read you part of an article on what happened in the days of Peleg that will explain this. And this is by Dr. Andrew Snelling and Bodie Hodge. And this is what the article says. The context of Genesis 10. A careful search of the context of Genesis 10:25 clearly reveals that the division of the earth refers to the dividing up of the post-flood people on the basis of language and families and moving them into different geographical locations. In fact, all of Genesis 10 is dedicated to dividing up of Noah's family into its three major divisions based on Noah's three sons and their families, and then the further list, the subfamily groups. Because these geological lists encompass all the people on the post-flood earth, the divisions referred to in verse 25 must have affected the entire post-flood human population. Several other verses dotted throughout the Genesis chapter 10 indicate that it was these people who were being split up by language and moved across the earth to different geographical locations or lands. For instance, Genesis 10:5 says they were separated into their land. Genesis 10:18, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. Genesis 10:20, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. And he says, even the culminating verse to the chapter states, these were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. That's verse 32. The chronological sequence of events on what happened at the Tower of Babel is given in Genesis 11, which we'll look at tonight, where we are told in verse 8 that the Lord scattered them abroad from there all over the face of the earth. But it's actually in Genesis 10 where we are told about the different groups of people who were divided into their families and different languages as a result of the Tower of Babel judgment. A lot of people think this, that in chapter 11 we actually see why the people were scattered out, and that in chapter 10 you're actually getting an explanation of how they were scattered out. So a lot of people think that's the way the chronology works there. It is appropriate to compare Scripture with Scripture in the context it's written. There are four verses listed above in chapter 10, verse 5, verse 18, verse 20, and 32, which explain the statement in verse 25 that in his days the earth was divided, as the division of family groupings according to the languages God gave them into different lands across the face of the earth. Verse 25 was not referring to an actual physical division of the earth from one supercontinent into today's many continents. So that's a good explanation, and we do believe that what they're saying there is true, that chapter 10 is talking about the way people were divided out, and that when the Bible says that in the days of Peleg that the earth was divided, it's talking about the way it was divided up with these people groups. It is not talking about continental drift. And verse 26, the Bible says, "And Joktan begat Almadad and Shelep and Hazarmath." let me try that again, Hazarmaveth and Jera, and Hadoram and Uzal and Dikla and Obel and Abimel and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. And this verse here would talk about, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, plural. That is languages, after their languages, plural. And we'll see in chapter 11 that the Bible says all the earth spoke the same language until Babel, until that division. So that would give credence to the idea that chronologically chapter 10 is what happened after the Babel division in chapter 11. Now we're going to come to our conclusion. Verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations. In their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, we're going to zoom forward several thousand years, and we're going to zoom to Acts chapter 17, where Paul is preaching a sermon on Mars Hill. And this is what he says. He says that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. And then as Paul preaches to these people on Mars Hill, the Greek philosophers, and he's preaching the gospel to them, and he says that God has given the nations of the earth bounds of habitations, and he says that God has made all the people in the world of one blood. Then he talks about their idolatry and the fact that they worshiped idols. And he says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at or he overlooked it. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, not by that idol who they worship, but by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so, in Genesis chapter 10, we see that the nations were distributed out. In 11, their tongues, they went from speaking one language to speaking many languages. And they were distributed out all over the earth to populate the earth. And God set the bounds of their habitation, as the Bible says in the book of Acts. But we see that as Paul preaches, he makes the important statement that God has made all nations under the heavens, all nations of men of one blood. Now that means we're all connected. We're all connected. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic, or if you come from China or come from North or South Korea or from Japan. It doesn't matter if you come from the Philippine Islands. It doesn't matter where you come from in the world. It doesn't matter if you come from Mexico or Peru or Venezuela or any place else in the world. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you find people. Wherever you find people, you find that they're all the same because they're of one blood. We're all of one blood. In fact, racial divisions are not found in Scripture. They are not biblical. And I know that may irritate some of you, but let me say it again. So if I'm going to irritate you, I'll irritate you good. Racial divisions are not found in Scripture. I don't care what culture you've been taught or brought up in, it's not in the Bible. The Bible teaches that people are divided by nations, tribes, and tongues. That's how people are divided. And we are all made of one blood. One blood. And so what Paul is saying here in the book of Acts, in his sermon on Mars Hill, is that God has overlooked the ignorance of man as man went to worship idols and as man followed false religions and all of these things. And God has now commanded all men everywhere to repent. So God wants everyone in the world to see Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross as the one who died for their sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and God now commands you to repent. He commands you to do it. Now, what is repentance? Repentance in the Bible, the word simply means a change of mind. And it's not just a superficial change of mind, but it is a radical change of mind. A radical change of mind that says, I am a sinner. And there is nothing I can do to save myself. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is who He says He is. And He came to do what He promised to do. And what did He promise to do? He promised to save everyone who would put their faith in Him. And so, if you repent, you will not say, well, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to do better, because you will realize that you're so lost and such a sinner that you can do nothing to save yourself. And you will turn to Jesus Christ in faith, trusting Him to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life. And the moment you do that, you are saved. You are on your way to heaven. You have forgiveness. You have eternal life. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And so this morning, God commands you to repent. And when we go out into our community and we do mission work in the United States, we're going to take that gospel to the United States and to Whitfield County, Murray County, and we're going to tell people that God invites them to be saved and commands them to turn to Jesus Christ and be forgiven. And if you've not been forgiven, today is a great day to do that. I'm going to give the invitation. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. And as we sing that, I invite you to come forward. If you'd like to know how to be saved, we'll have a counselor sit with you and take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die because of what Christ did for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. I do pray that You would help us to turn to You today and know the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ and to take that message to our community. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.